take my words and speak through them. Take our minds and think through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire with love for you. Amen. It's nice to be back. And although it's only 1 week away, but it feels like a long time. It's funny that. Anyway, both our readings seem to reference something about eternal life and the hope of heaven. I want to look at that a little bit, how we might grow in love and faith through hope that Paul speaks about to the Colossians. He begins this letter to the Colossians in an interesting way. I was drawn straight away to, in the translation I've got here, he says, to the saints and faithful brothers and sisters in Christ in Colossae. And there's a sense in which they've got this dual heritage. They're part of Christ, but they're part of this geographical location as well. And something about being from in two places, in having that dual heritage. Those of you who met my parents last weekend might have seen how we're all we've all have a dual heritage, don't we? Although sometimes that's a term used for those that come from perhaps two different cultural groups. Actually, we all descend from both sides of our parents and have traits probably from both that have passed on in our genes or passed on in our upbringing. And so I know a few people who said, oh yes, I met your dad and it all fell into place, or I saw your mum and certain things made sense. And and one programme that we enjoy, I might have mentioned before, Carrie loves watching Long Lost Family. I don't know if you've seen it, but it's an incredible programme that brings together parents and children who have been estranged or lost from one another for so many years. And I always end up with a few tears, to be honest, at the end when they bring them together. There was an amazing one this week of a lady who clearly had this sort of dual ethnicity, and she'd grown up not knowing who on earth her father was. She knew a little bit about her mother, but she was estranged from her, or she'd been given up for adoption when she was very young. And she asked the programme to help her. She was in her early 60s. And they eventually tracked down her mum. She was living in Canada now. She was white, but she'd evidently had a relationship with a Jamaican man, this lady found out, and she was the product. But the lady realised that this dual heritage baby wouldn't have been welcome in the family, so she decided to put her up for adoption in the hope she'd have a better life. Anyway, in the course of the programme, we saw them eventually meet up, and it was just an amazing connection that they had, having not been together for 60 years. But then, after that, the programme makers said, but we found something else, and they sort of used different techniques to try and match them up. They go through lots of records, lots of paperwork, but they use genetic tests as well now. And they said, you'll never guess, but we've actually found a genetic match with someone from your father's side. Now, this lady didn't even know the name of her father. She only just found out that he was probably from Jamaica. And they managed to match up through these genetic match with a half-brother who she didn't know about, who lived only about 7 miles away from her in London. And again, it was just an amazing connection. And she found out a picture of her father who'd only died a few years before. And she found out where she was from, both sides of her family. And she could see then her generosity, and her half-brother said, oh yes, that's just what your father was like. He was really generous to others. And it was just a great way of seeing someone connect with their past to give them a hope in the future, really. So we'll sort of press into that dual heritage aspect. But I'm very struck in the Colossians reading by Paul talking about faith, hope and love. And perhaps I'm reminded of the various weddings I've done this year, and the number one wedding passage that's used, 1 Corinthians 13, which ends with, these three things remain: faith, hope and love. But the greatest of all is love. There we go. And as I read the New Testament reading, the Gospel reading from Luke, that wonderful story, the Good Samaritan, it's all about love, isn't it? Sacrificial love. As the Samaritan shows love for this traveller that he's found on the road. But actually it's much more than that, and I'm sure you've heard many sermons on it before. Particularly the challenge that would have been to those who were listening. They are told about this Samaritan who shows love for someone that he's never met, that he's found in trouble. But for Jesus' listeners, the very mention of the Samaritans would have stirred up something far from love in their hearts. The Samaritans were this group that lived in the Northern Kingdom. And those that have been doing the Bible course over the last few months will know that and those that know already, that the Northern Kingdom was part of the whole of Israel in David and Solomon's time. Then it split off and eventually got taken over by the Assyrian Empire. And the problem was then the Assyrians, in a sort of ethnic cleansing, put in other ethnic groups into that area. So it became quite a sort of Heinz 57 varieties area, whereas Judea at the bottom where Jerusalem was a bit more pure. And so you could see where as time went on, the Jews who lived in Jerusalem, even though they were exiled as well, but came back, looked on this area around Samaria as they weren't proper. They weren't proper part of Israel. And so that attitude sort of grew into a hatred over time. They don't worship right, and we see Jesus interacting with some of the Samaritans. But here, he flags up this Samaritan, and for his listeners, it's like, you know, can he really mention the Samaritans even in this place? And so the challenge is for them, not just that this Samaritan is showing love to a stranger, but Jesus is challenging them to show love to an enemy, effectively, to one that they look down on, one that they despise. That's the challenge for them. Now, Paul, as he writes to the Colossians, notices in this early church, this young church, they are showing that love. He says, I've heard about the love that you show in the Spirit. It's a fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. We talked about it recently. They are bearing fruit. But when Paul talks about love and faith and hope, it's interesting, he doesn't put them in the same order as in his letter to the Corinthians. But he says, you have love of God's people, you have faith in Jesus Christ, and all this springs from the hope that is laid up for you in heaven. So he's saying effectively that the love and faith that they have, the love and the faith that is growing in them, is actually springing from the hope they have in heaven. And that's that sort of tying up that idea that actually he's encouraging them to recognise that eternal life is waiting for them. That hope that they have is what should be helping them to grow in love and faith on earth. It's as if he's saying this eternity, this eternal everlasting life that Jesus has promised, is not the icing on the cake, but it is the whole cake. We'll probably see a lot of cake this afternoon. I was going to grab one, but I thought I might not be trusted to try and balance one as I wandered about here. But what he's saying is that it is the cake. Eternity is the cake, and what we experience now is like the crumbs. They're amazing crumbs, but eternity is going to be so much more than that. We get amazing experiences in this life out of our fellowship together. We experience our worship together, just as we're having today. We sense God's peace at times. And really, we can sense how wonderful that is. Amazing answers to prayer, sometimes miraculous answers to prayer that I've had and certainly heard others testify to. And yet all those are just a foretaste for what it is that we are going to inherit. And that's our heritage, is not just our earthly heritage, but we are of a dual heritage, because we're inheritors of God, from God as well. We're children of God. And so Paul is reminding the church, the Colossian church, and us as well, that although our experience might be good in this life, we need to have expectation of what is to come. It's impossible to imagine what it will be like, but it's going to be incredible. Now, as I've reflected on that, I thought, well, I could just stop there. It's wonderful to think about what heaven will be like. But there was a bit of a problem in my mind. Because but occasionally, if I've spoken about or I've read about books about what heaven might be like, there's usually a sort of caveat that says, we might be surprised who we meet in eternity. We might be surprised who else is there. We might think we've got our list, but it might be surprising who else might be there, because it may be that there'll be some I use the word linking back in with Jesus' story. There might be some Samaritans, some people who we have difficulty with. Maybe we'll meet them in heaven. How, if heaven is a place of love and joy and peace, how might we deal with perhaps a jealousy or an anger or a difficulty we have with someone else? And whilst we've only got a few minutes, my conclusion I got to is that what we need to remember is this life is a practice for the next one. And so what we can do is, God isn't testing us in this life, but he wants to lead us on and help us. And so if we need to grow love for one another and love for those that we struggle to love, then God will help us with that. And perhaps now is the time to do that, to pray for those who we find difficult, to pray for not just our friends, but maybe our enemies. Well, that's a difficult term, isn't it? Perhaps the difference is maybe we need to pray for the questioner in the story to Jesus said, "Who is my neighbour?" And maybe the challenge for us is to pray for our nice neighbours, but also pray for our not so nice neighbours. I hope you haven't got nasty neighbours or noisy neighbours or nosy neighbours or needy neighbours or nuisance neighbours. I hope and pray you haven't got those, but you know what I mean. We need to pray for all those who we encounter, particularly in a way, those who we struggle with, because we may well meet them in the next life, and that's going to be a place of love and joy. Now, that love may not happen straight away. That's something that grows, and it's Paul often uses that term about growing fruit, doesn't he? Fruit takes time to grow. Especially when the deer come and eat all your leaves. A cry went up in the rectory household yesterday when it was discovered that the deer had come across and eaten all the leaves of our French beans. And the runners, but they've kind of eaten them to so far. So they've put these poor runner beans that look like a sort of poodle. They've been sheared down the bottom and then they've got leaves at the top. So who knows whether they'll still grow. They haven't got to the loganberries though, and they're doing really well. Anyway, I digress. But it's about growing a love, isn't it? It's about asking God to help us grow in love, to bear fruit, really, that will take time. And I come back to what Paul reminds us, that actually when our focus is on heaven, now we've got to be a bit careful, haven't we? That it's said that sometimes Christians are so heavenly minded they're no earthly use. We need to balance those things out. But we do need to keep in mind that there is a greater life than this one that we've got to come. We need to have great expectations whilst we balance out the experiences that we have. That's really what I want to encourage us to think about. And then we'll be more ready, as Paul says. That hope that's laid up for us in heaven is what springs from that is our growth in faith and our growth in love. And I'm going to draw to a close, but just to remind you that we've got there'll be some people happy to pray with you today. Our second Sunday, it will probably be back here somewhere, but if there's setting up of paintings and things that need to be done, well, that's going to happen later, isn't it, Anna? So there'll be some people here, Jane, and I think Charles will be happy to pray with you. It might be you want to pray about someone particular in your life who keeps flagging up and you want to grow in love for them, but it might be you want to pray for others as well. Our prayer ministry is not necessarily about prayer for yourself, but praying with someone else for someone else is a good thing as well. But of course you can pray now, you can pray through the service and in your own time as well. But we just offer that time if it is helpful for you to, if you want to come forward, they'll be happy to pray with you. But my prayer, I'm going to pray now. Let's give that to God. Lord, we thank you for the amazing word that we have that we can read. Familiar stories like the Good Samaritan. And then deep theology that we get from St. Paul. But above all, we thank you that Paul encourages us to have a hope, to recognise there is a hope laid up for us in heaven. And as we contemplate that, as we try and imagine in some way what our life beyond this one will be like, a place of love and joy and peace, Lord, we pray that some of that would grow in our hearts now. As we practice for heaven, we would be like that Good Samaritan, showing love to our neighbours, even those we find difficult with. Help us to pray for them. Help us to grow in love. We may not grow in our in liking them, but we can grow in loving them, just as you love them, and just as you love us. And we commit this all to you now. In Jesus' name. Amen.